Let's read in the book of Matthew tonight, and we'll read verses, we'll start in chapter 14, and we'll read verses 22 down through 36. I literally was going to preach something else that I had preached Sunday, but the sermon that I preached Sunday was particularly tailored by the Lord for that congregation. And what I mean by that is that they need to move forward with their church, and the sermon was in such a way that it fit everything that the church was going through. And God had somebody at the end of the service that was wanting to talk to the pastor of the church. They're wanting to start a ministry out of that church. And that's what Nancy and I have been praying for it. Some of us, other people have been praying for it. The church has gone down from 20 plus down to like 4 or 5 now. And it's not going to disturb their service time, but there's a ministry that wants to come in there and do a Spanish ministry out of the church. And I think it's great. They're good, solid foundation under these people. I know the people well. And I'm trying to help these people move forward with their church. The message that I had preached that Sunday morning was don't squander the opportunities of the church. And the Lord just used it in a big way. So y'all pray for them. I'll give you the name of the church, Whispering Hope Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. Y'all just pray for those folks. Let's read now. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord took care and took the matters into his hands. And the Bible says he caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me say only things you'd have me to say. And Lord, that you'd be lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's a passage of scripture there toward the end. It says, "And when they had knowledge of him." That was brought to my attention one time when I preached this message. I'd not ever really... you say, "How do you miss that, preacher?" Well, sometimes it just you miss things. But when they had knowledge of him, I would say to you tonight, we have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he expects us, he expects a lot out of us because we have that knowledge. Too much who is given, much is required, I would say. But tonight I want to preach a sermon called "Our Trials Should Cause Us To." That's the reason I left it that way, because there's a lot of different things we can draw from this passage of Scripture. We've heard this scripture preached in many ways about faith. We've heard this scripture preached in all sorts of different ways. So this passage of scripture is not something new to any of us tonight, is it? Amen? It's not something new, and we're familiar with it. But I would say the first thing that our trials should cause us to do is call on the Lord. But let me back up before I get to that. As we've seen verse 22 through verse 26... we have the disciples that have been with Jesus just a few passage of Scripture in the Bible. Back up in verse 15, it talks about the 5,000. And this is how fast we forget who the Lord is in our troubles and our trials. They had been with Jesus. They had rubbed shoulders with Jesus. They had shook Jesus' hand. They'd eat with Jesus. They'd talked to Jesus. They had prayed with Jesus. But then we find on down in the Scripture there that when they're all up in their troubles and their trials and worried about their problems and concerned about their problems, they didn't even know Him. I found that to be something interesting, that someone they spent so much time with, they didn't even realize who He was. Isn't that the way we get sometimes in our troubles and our trials and our toils, that we just simply flat out get so caught up in everything that's going on that we tend to try to fix it ourselves. We try to do everything that we can do, and all along the Lord's saying, I can help you with this problem. But we try to put all of our efforts into it, all our money into it, everything that we know to do, and then when Jesus is trying to help us, we don't even recognize it. But finally, who do we go to in the end when nothing works out? We go to Him, don't we? And He ought to be the very first one that we go to and to lay all our efforts aside. Say, God, it's in Your hands. God, it's under Your control. God, You take hold of my problems and my issues, because everything I touch, brethren, everything I try to do, I mess it up. But when God gets a hold of something, when God gets into something and intervenes into something, He takes care of it. I'll tell you something, it may sound silly to you, but last night our cat come up missing? Or the night before? I love that little cat. I have not wanted a cat for years. I'm like, I'm a dog person. I don't want a cat. Don't bring a stinking cat around here. And then we bring a little cat, and I fall in love with that little thing. And it was out after dark, and it was upwards about 11 o'clock. We walked the property. We got 7 acres, and we walked all over that property calling for that cat. Come on. Here, kitty, 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 here, kitty. Come on, Lala, come home. And you know the cat's sitting over there on a log, sitting there looking at you like, look at him. But we're sitting there, we're calling that thing, and finally my heart's breaking. I'm like a coyote's got it. We live in the woods. A fox has come up here and got it, something. And I sit on a sofa, and she goes in the bedroom, and I pray. I says, Lord, I pray that You please let that cat come home. Please take care of that little cat. Please bring her home. And I want you to know, almost after I got done praying that, I heard something at the door, scratching the door, and I heard her go, meow, meow. You say, oh, that's coincidence. God knows I love that little cat. And He knows that I wanted that cat to come home. And Nancy had prayed the same thing, bring the cat home. And it sounds silly, but God desires in our life to do even the smallest little things for us. And we say, does God really care that much about it? He does. But our trials should cause us to call on the Lord. Verse 28, it says, what did He say? He said, bid me come unto thee, didn't it? In verse 20, it said, bid me. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Our troubles and trials should cause us to call upon the Lord. Not to call somebody else or call, and it's fine to have people to help you pray. I get it. It's fine to call the preacher, but the first one you need to be talking to is the Lord. Amen. Our troubles and trials should cause us to call upon the one who can take care of us, who can move mountains for us, who can heal the sick, who can raise the dead. Our troubles and trials should cause us to call upon the Lord. I've spent many a days with things that's out of my control. I mean, completely out of my control. You ever been there where something, they're completely out of your control? It's a helpless feeling, isn't it? It really is. I mean, you're sitting there, what am I going to do? There's no way. But you hear that small, still voice. He said, I can handle it. He said, I could take whatever it is you've got. I can take it. And He says, whatever's meant for your bad, I'm going to make it for your good. He can take that trouble in our trials and turn it around for us. Our troubles and trials should always cause us, church, to call on the Lord. I look and it says, the second thing we see, our troubles should cause us to cry to the Lord. Look at verse 30, what does it say? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. And what did it say? He cried saying, Lord, save me. Our troubles should cause us to cry to the Lord. I'm reminded of a time where a few people got together years and years ago in the before the Welsh revivals began. And how they began to pray. Their community was a wicked community. They had houses of ill repute and bars and dance halls, and it was just a sinful place to be. But there was a few people who began to cry out to God and said, "Lord, our community's in a bad shape, and you know what needs to be done." They began to cry, and they called upon the Lord, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And finally, one day, God began to work on a preacher's heart. And the preacher man came to town, but God had already been working on some of the people's hearts. The story goes on, and I don't know how true it is. I wasn't there, but the story goes on, and it tells how they were. Some of them had started together up at the church house, and this late at night. Now they look at each other and I said, "What are you doing here?" They said, "Don't know. Just got this strong feeling that I need to be here." And as time went on, a few days went on, the preacher man was going to go up to the church, and there was people gathered around church. He's going to go up there and preach a revival meeting during this, right before the Welsh revivals begin. This is all pre-Welsh revival time. But he opened the church door, and what he saw was, to his astonishment, he began to walk down to the aisles, and he had to step over people who were laying on their faces. They were crying out to God. And they were saying, "Is there not mercy for me? Is there not mercy for me?" My friend, their troubles and their trials caused them to call out upon the Lord and cry out to Him. They were calling out and crying to the only one that's going to help them. And by the way, I'll tell you, there is mercy for them. There is mercy for you and I. We get into a bad place. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to go to Him first, but we need to cry out to Him, "Oh God, help me in my condition." As the Welsh revivals begin, it was said that such a revival swept through the land that the bars closed down, that the dance halls closed down, that the houses of ill repute closed down. And God swept through that community, and many, many, many souls were saved. Why? Because somebody got on their face and somebody called out to the Lord. And not only did they call out, they got on their face and they cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, save our community." That ought to be our cry here in Cleveland, Georgia. Tonight, tomorrow, next week, from now on, it ought to be our cry that God would save this community around here. I know, as well as you know, there's a lot of people around here that need the Lord. It's the same way in Pickens County over there where I live, over at Marble Hill. There's a lot of people that need the Lord, and we need to be crying out for them. We should call upon the Lord. We should cry unto the Lord. And look at verse 31. I say we should cling to the Lord. Verse 31, it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." Do you think Peter didn't take his hand? Amen. He took that hand. The Lord stretched out his hand and said he clinged onto him. Now, I wasn't going to involve next. You can stay seated, it's fine. But if I grab hold of her hand like that, and I don't know how Peter grabbed Jesus' hand. If he grabbed it like that, it's fine. I can slip away from her if my hands are sweaty or whatever. But I'll tell you what, whenever we get close together and I get a hold of her and I clasp my hands in hers and I cling to her, it's hard to pull away from that. And I believe that Peter grabbed a hold of Jesus' hand just as tight as he could. And in his trouble and in his trial, he clinged to Jesus. What I'm telling you folks is tonight we need to call on the Lord. We need to cry out to the Lord. But when we cry out, we need to cling a hold of Him. Listen, we need to cling to Jesus like we've never clinged to Him before. Have you ever seen a day that we've ever lived in that the world is in such a terrible, terrible shape? I'm not here to be a downer to anybody. I'm not here to make you feel bad about the world that we live in, but I want to tell you tonight that we've never seen a day like it is right now. Amen. We haven't. I know that Christians have been persecuted throughout history, but I want to tell you that during these hard times, during these trials, during these problems that our country is facing, we need to be calling on the Lord, we need to be crying out to the Lord, but we need to cling to the Lord like we've never done it before. We need to hold on to Him with everything we got. That includes reading all the time, praying all the time, just calling upon Him. He tells us to pray without ceasing. I believe that's just to have a spirit of prayer all the day long. And He tells us there in verse 31 how it said He stretched forth His hand and caught him. I'm reminded of how Esther came before the king. Y'all remember the story of Esther? If she went before, and he was her husband, I understand that. But she went before him unannounced. And anybody that went before the king unannounced had a good chance of being taken out and done away with. We'll just put it like that. And so Esther didn't know whether the king would receive her or not. But when she came before him and saw him, he extended the scepter. And that meant everything was okay. You can come into my presence. The scepter has been extended. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is still extending His scepter today to all mankind. And that scepter of grace. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith. I want to tell you, I got in by His grace, through faith. I got in, folks. If you got in, you only come by the way of Jesus Christ. You only come by the way of the cross. As we know and we preach it in our church houses, there's no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's looking for another way. They say you can be good enough and you can pay your way to heaven. You can do enough good deeds. You can earn your way to heaven. You can do good all your life and maybe you'll get into heaven. And you pray to Mother Mary, you'll get into heaven. But I want to tell you, the scripture said that He is the only way that we're going to get in. Amen. And it's only by Jesus. Only by Him. We're to call on the Lord, to cry to the Lord, to cling to the Lord. But I noticed something here that we are to allow ourselves to be corrected by the Lord. Look at verse 31, what He said. And when they were come into the city, let me back up. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? He finally got a hold of the Lord, but now the Lord's looking at him and said, He's kind of correcting him, and He's saying, where did you doubt? Where did you doubt? I'm telling you, man, that old spirit of fear, that spirit of doubt creeps up in us, don't it? It does. But we serve a mighty God who's much greater than anything that Satan could ever throw at us, who's greater is He that is within us than he that is within the world. I'm going to tell you, we serve a mighty God. We should allow ourselves to be corrected by the Lord. It hurts, doesn't it, sometimes when we've kind of walked away and we might not have done exactly what we should have, and the Lord, He has to chastise us a little bit, like a little child sometimes, and bring us back in line. Aren't you glad for that chastisement? That means you're His. Amen. That means you belong to Him. Amen. That means you belong to Him. I got a dear friend. I call him the know-it-all. And he thinks he knows it all. And he probably does. He's pretty smart. He can read a book and pretty much comprehend everything in it and only read it once. We in college, was in Bible college together, and we'd have tests. And there's material that you would study. And he would read over this material a couple hours before test time. And ace every test. He never made less than 100. Never. And here I sit over at the house and I study for weeks at a time. And I still, I done good in college, but I didn't do as good as he did. But one day I was thinking, I was talking to him and I was mentioning something to him, and I just have to be honest with you, I think I was a little out of sorts about something. And he's a good friend of mine and he's younger than me, but he says, Brother Philip, he says, you're wrong. You know how that hurt my heart? My pride says, oh, he's younger than me, what right has he got to say that? But I allowed myself to be corrected in that moment. I thought about it and I said, you know what? I might be thinking about this whole thing wrong. And I listened to his reason and I understood that I was wrong. But see, we need to allow ourselves to be corrected and grow. I'm sorry, brother, I keep moving around on you back there, but we need to allow ourselves to be corrected by the Lord. And sometimes we need to be corrected by others. If they see something wrong in us, they can call it out to us in a spirit of love. But we should cling to the Lord in these matters. We should allow ourselves to be corrected of the Lord. And then we should count on the Lord. Look at verse 32. Let's read verse 32. It says, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Can you say you can count on the Lord? They could count on the Lord in this matter. Here's some men who have been struggling. Here's some men who had a rough time. Here's some men who saw what they perceived to be a spirit, and they cried out, and it scared them. But now they're allowing themselves to be able to count on the Lord. The Bible says the wind ceased. I don't know about you, brethren, tonight, but I've been through a few trials, maybe not as many as you have. And isn't it a wonderful thing when God comes on the scene? Now, I'm not saying He takes us out of the trials, but He walks through them with us. And it seems like that trial's not even there anymore. I remember a time where there was a lot of things going on in my life. There was about four or five things that come compounded all at once, and they were completely, once again, out of my control. And I remember sitting on the front porch, and in the midst of all that trouble and trial, I said, "Lord, I love you." And I heard Him speak to me instantly. He says, "I love you too." And I could count on Him because I knew He was there. I knew He was going to be there for me. Our trials should cause us to allow ourselves to be corrected, but that should also cause us to count on the Lord. I'll tell you, church, tonight, if America would take Jesus back on board, if they take Jesus back on board, our problems would begin to cease. We were founded on some biblical truths, amen. We were founded by some men who persevered and who were some godly men. My friend, if America would just allow Jesus to take hold of the reins and take control of their problems, if they'd call on Jesus, if they'd cry out to Jesus, if they'd cling to Jesus, I want to tell you tonight, if we would just hold on to Him and to allow Him to correct us in our matter and say, "Look, America, you've done wrong, but get your heart right with God, repent." I believe we'd see a turnaround in our country. I don't know that we ever will, but I believe we could. Our problems should cause us to count on Him. But our problems should cause us to commit to Him as well. Look at verse 33. I like this. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped, saying of truth, Thou art the Son of God." It ought to cause us to commit to the Lord. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped." What does that mean? That means they've committed to the Lord. They've decided, here we've seen all this trouble, we've seen all this other stuff, and yeah, some of that stuff's still going on, but we're going to commit ourselves to the Lord. The world says you're crazy for going to church on Sunday or Wednesday evening, but we're going to commit ourselves to the Lord, aren't we? The world tells me that we shouldn't do these things. The people are ridiculing us. They're trying to make laws against Christians. They're trying to tear down our religious establishments. I want to tell you that we're to commit to the Lord. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it gets, we're still bound to commit to the Lord. Did you realize that under persecution, the church grows even more? Every time the church has ever been persecuted by the world or by the devil, the church always abounds with more. There's no weapon formed against the church, by the way, that shall ever prevail. Not even the gates of hell shall prevail against the church. I want to tell you, we serve an awesome God. I know this is a simple message. I know this is from a passage of Scripture that we've seen time and time and time again. I understand that. But we're to allow ourselves to call, our trials should cause us to call on the Lord, to cry out to the Lord, to cling to the Lord. We should allow ourselves to be corrected. We should count on the Lord. We should commit to the Lord. I love the fact that it says that when they were in the ship, they came and worshiped Him. We call it the old ship of Zion, don't we? Amen. We're in the ship. And we need to do some worshiping. We need to do some praising. God's been good to you, hasn't He? Amen. I mean, He's been good to you. Listen, I hadn't missed a meal. Other than when I was sick, I didn't want it. I haven't had to ride around in a horse and buggy without an air conditioner and the heat. Probably wouldn't have hurt me, though. But I think we've gotten soft, haven't we? He's daily loaded us with benefits, amen. These pews in this church, this air conditioner, this carpet, and this it being cool in here, I'm telling you, that's a benefit the Lord's loaded us with. Why did they, listen, our forefathers and our parents before our parents, our grandparents and our grandparents, great-great-grandparents, listen, they met under brush arbors in the heat, in the thunderstorms, in the cold. And they prayed for you and I. They prayed for their kids, their grandkids to come. And we got it good because of them. We got a good heritage, don't we? Amen. I'm telling you, we should allow ourselves to count on the Lord, but commit ourselves to Him. Not just Peter and Jesus, but every man that was in that ship, the Bible says, worshiped Him. They worshiped Him. Every one of them committed to Him. And then we find that we're to be comforted by the Lord. Now I'm going to back up a few scriptures here. Verse 27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." I want to tell you, when Jesus speaks that word in our lives, be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy who was remembering, trying to remember some scripture. And he was thinking about this passage of scripture. And it was thundering and lightning, and the power went out in the church, and the preacher came up and touched that little boy to give him comfort. And that little boy says, "What in the world? Who is that?" And the preacher says, "It's me." He says, the little boy started mentioning scripture. He says, "It's I, and I'm afraid." He couldn't remember how the scripture went. He said, "It's I, and I'm afraid." But I want to tell you, we are to be comforted of the Lord. He brings sweet comfort to us. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I remember, and I've told a lot of stories tonight, but I've had some health issues, back issues that have literally put me out on my back, and I couldn't move. Last time was probably the worst time, but it was shorter than the first time it happened, but I couldn't walk. And I had to get up and get to the edge of the bed, and it hurt so bad just to stand on my feet. And I had to use a walker, and I probably didn't make about that much progress heading towards the restroom, you know. And it hurt so bad I couldn't stay up just a minute or two, you know. But in the midst of all my trouble and in the midst of all my trial, I wanted to give up because I'm active. And when something like that happens, it just knocks the wind out of your sail. I wanted to give up, but the Lord comforted me during those times. He was with me, and He assured me that things would be okay. But there were some things that I had to go through. You say, "Well, why would the Lord allow you to go through those troubles?" Because He's making me into the person He wants me to be. We've gone through plenty of trials and troubles on the road. I could tell you stories where bullets have been ricocheting off the pavement and hitting, you know, going around the buildings that we live in. People jerking on the doors trying to get in. Tires that have a slash in them that long, and yet you're able to go up the interstate and it holds air. But God has everything in His control. You say, you really believe these things? I'm telling you, that's one of the most amazing things to me, that the tire had a slash in it. Brand new tire, too. It had a slash right in the middle of the tread pattern, that long, and a big old hole in it, big as my thumb. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He says, "Pray. There's some kind of trouble with the tire." That's all I got out of it. He says, "There's trouble with the tire." I began to pray. I said, "Lord, please let us get where we're going so we can get some help." I want to tell you, the tire, you could tell that it felt a little funny, but the tire held air. You say, "What in the world?" I think God just put His hand over it. But when we got to where we was going, honest to goodness, you can ask my wife, the tire just went poof. All the air come out. I want to tell you, we serve a great God. Amen. Tire again. On our first trip to North Dakota, I always praise the Lord to keep the tires aired up, the engine running, gas in the tank. That's back when the COVID was going on. There was gas stations 100 miles in between them because nobody was open. We get home, we park the truck, and we go out the next morning, and we have more tire trouble, I guess, That's just our lot in life. And we go out the next morning at home, and the tire's flat on the ground. And she and I stand around that Jeep and rejoice over a flat tire in the yard. Amen. We're like, glory to God, it's flat in the yard. Hallelujah. It didn't happen on the road, Lord. You done what you said you'd do. I ordered the tire, by the way. I'll finish real quick here in just a minute. This is one of them little things I was talking about, like the cat. I ordered a tire when we was in Winston-Salem with that big slash in that tire, and I had to have the tire sent to King, North Carolina, to the Walmart, which was 15 miles away, maybe something like that. I had my spare tire on. It had a screw in it. It's got a screw in it. Still got a screw in it. I think it's had a screw in it for the last 200,000 miles or more. But we had put it on, and it's still holding there, praise God. But anyway, I ordered that tire, and it was the same tread pattern, but it was not the same load rating, and it was not the same speed rating. And I'm weird. I want everything to match. But I couldn't get the right tire. I said, okay, whatever. I need a tire. Let's go get it. I go over there, but they put the tire on it. I want to tell you, people, I look at the tire. It's not the tire I ordered. It's the right tire that I wanted. But it wasn't the tire I ordered. God does little things, small things for you. And we recognize those things, and they're such a blessing. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord takes care of us. And in many other ways, He's taking care of us. But we're to be comforted of the Lord and let Him comfort us in our troubles. And when He does, those big old waves and those dark, deep valleys don't seem so deep anymore. And those wave tops don't seem so high anymore, do they? So we're to allow ourselves to be comforted, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. We're to continue with the Lord. I like this. Verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when they had gone over, nobody abandoned the ship. Why would you abandon the ship if the Lord's in it? But they all worshipped Him a few minutes ago, but now they've gone over, and when they all came, everybody stayed on the ship. I want to tell you, church, don't abandon the ship. Tonight, I know it can get hot sometimes. The trials can get hot. I know that the world coming against God's people can be troubled sometimes. I know that Satan can really light your family up and cause so much trouble and division in your family, and things go on that you just really don't see how it's happening and out of your control. But I want to tell you that He knows all about it, and we're to continue with Him no matter how hot the fire may get. We're to continue with Him. Don't let our anger and our situations or some other person cause you to abandon the ship. It's happened, hasn't it? I've seen people abandon the ship over color of toilet paper in church bathroom. Over the color of a pew. They didn't get the vote. They weren't there. The pews ain't the color they wanted. I'm leaving the church. The carpet. I've heard this stuff. I'm telling you, it's crazy stuff. Just the devil, though, he'll rub people the wrong way over silly things. They didn't abandon the ship. And I want to tell you, news media, politics, government will let you down, but His Word will never let you down. God's Word will never let you down. He's the same, the Bible says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That means you can put your trust, your faith, and you can count on Him because He's the same. How many times has Nancy Pelosi changed? How many times has any politician, I just named her off the top of my head, really, because it's probably one that's prominent in my mind right now. But how many times has any politician changed? They change like the wind, don't they? Even the Republican Party changes like the wind. You can't count on politics. You can't count on news media. We all know it's fake news, right? Amen. It's all fake news. Listen, we can't count on that stuff, but we can count on God. We can count on His Word. It's the same yesterday, forevermore, today and forevermore. The Word of God was settled, forever settled in heaven. I want to tell you, God's Word never changes. He doesn't change. And because He doesn't change, I can put my faith in Him because He'll always be right where He is. Anybody moves, it's me. The world moves. Everything moves, but God, He's the same. And by the way, in that same statement, He's holy, He's righteous. He tells us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before Him, for this is our reasonable service. He said, that's the reasonable service that you can do. So we're to count on Him, continue with the Lord. They all continue. And then we're to come to the Lord one more time here in verses 35 and 36. I seen something in there that I wanted to address, and it says, And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Now, I seen that, and it reminded me of another story in the Bible of that woman who had the issue of blood. And what I'm saying here is we need to come to the Lord. She knew where he was going to be. And she went and placed herself in a place where she could get to him. Listen, we need to be sure that we allow ourselves to get to where we can be with God and have that time with him. She went out of her way, and when he came by, she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible goes on, and it says that immediately the issue of blood stanched is the word that the Bible said. That means stopped. But she put herself. She had faith. You know what? Other people, he says, who touched me? And the reason he knew that, other people had touched him. Other people had bumped into him. Other people had talked to him. But when she touched him, she was doing it out of faith. And that issue of blood stopped because she was there out of faith. Jairus went to Jesus and knelt at his feet. And besought him that he had one and one only daughter at home that was laying there and she was going to die. But he placed himself at Jesus' feet. He put himself there. And there's other people in the Bible. How about the demonic? The Bible tells us that whenever the story's almost ended up about the demonic there, it says in that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. There's something about going to where Jesus is. It's something about getting up around his feet and talking to him. We should allow our troubles and trials to cause us to come to Jesus and to gather up around his feet. Amen. That reminds me of a mother hen. It even reminds me of little kids gather around daddy's feet or mama's feet. But it reminds me of a mother hen who gathers her brood in up around her and protects them. He's our great protector. He's a strong tower and the righteous run into him. We're to come to the Lord. And I believe that was perhaps a reference back into the book of Matthew, verse 9, or chapter 9, with the woman with the issue of blood. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." 1 Peter 4 and 12, verse 13, 12 through 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you." He says right here, listen to verse 13. He says, "But rejoice." You ever rejoiced in your trials? I can only say a few times that I've rejoiced in my trials. And I'm guessing it's probably when I was really spiritual or something. Because most of the time, when a trial comes my way, I'm like, "Oh man, again, what's wrong with this?" But he says, "Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory," hallelujah, "that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I want to tell you, our trials should always push us closer to Jesus. They should never push us further. I have seen people that have gone away from him because of trials. I know one particular man, I won't name his name, who used to be in church. He lives close to us. He runs a business. It was in the church. And his wife died. And he got angry at God. And I understand those things. I'm not throwing rocks at him. But he let that trial in his life cause him to go away from Jesus. He didn't go and run to the feet where he had comfort. And his whole life, he's held this in his heart. And he's dealt with this bitterness, and he's dealt with this angerness. Listen, you want anger and bitterness to go away? Forgiveness. If you hold something against somebody, it's the most powerful tool you have is to just say, I forgive you. I'm done. And you might not even have to say it to them. Just forgive them. Because once you do that, that anger and that hurt no longer has control over you. I know of a man right now who's living a bitter and angry life because of the past that he went through when he was a child. And he still holds on to that bitterness and that angerness. And he's in, how old is he now? 44, 45-ish? And he's bitter. And this happened when he was... And he's holding on to it, and it's got power over him. But we should allow our troubles to push us to Jesus, not hold on to bitterness, not hold on to anger. Just go to Him. I hope this sermon's been a blessing to you tonight. I know it's kind of simple. I was going to go another route, but I felt like maybe this might be the way we should go tonight. And you ask her, I was pretty much solid all the way over here. It's, 40 plus miles over here? But I was pretty quiet. I do have a song. I'll sing it.